Tracy, and it is my pleasure to be able to worship with you today. So I invite you to sing about his grace. Let's sing about his grace because it is undeserved favor, and we are so thankful that we can gather together and that God is who he is. Amen. So let's stand and sing together.
Oh, stay on live stream.
Strong.
Dead of night and day.
And today we thank you for your grace. You know, it is by grace that we are saved. Amen? Amen. While we were made alive in Christ, even while we were dead in our sins, he came and he gave us undeserved favor. It is by grace that we are saved. And we get to sing Amazing Grace together today. Father, we thank you for your grace.
Tracy, thank you very much. Let's pray together. Lord God, we're thankful that you are an amazing God. an almighty God, an unconditional, loving God, a gracious God, a merciful God, a forgiving God. Who you are is just what we need. Especially in times of turmoil, illness. Lord, we think of those that have lost loved ones in this COVID-19, those that have lost their job, those that are lacking hope, depressed about the future, anxious about these moments. And you're a God who comes to us, and just because of who you are, wow, you make such a profound difference. You stand with us, you encourage us, you comfort us. Lord, in this week, not everything that we've thought, not everything that we've said, not everything we've done or should have done has come to be. And so we do pray that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would raise us up in our shortcomings, that you would enlighten us as we make decisions. We are thankful today that we can gather together. It is a great reminder that we're better together than we are alone. That we not only need you and need to love you, but we need others and we need to love them as well. Your grace is amazing because you are an amazing God. And as we worship you, remind us that you're a God who came to forgive us. You're for us, not against us. That you're not a God of condemnation. You're not a God of chaos. But you are the still point in a very fast-paced, ever-changing, even chaotic world that we live in. Give us your Holy Spirit today as we worship you. I pray as we raise you up that you would raise us up as well. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So I'll ask you to be seated because you can't shake hands with one another. And wow, we have real people today. Woo! I tweeted to one of my friends the other day. I said, I cannot wait to see saints seated in the sanctuary. I'm the kind of person that as I communicate, I do a lot better when I get to at least see your eyes as you're making your way. Tell your body language, etc. It's been a very busy week. As we've made our way, we had a game plan for rolling things out, and it's amazing how, even with lots of preparation and work, we spent a lot of time working and reworking things this week so that this could be a very safe place for you to come. As someone has said, I wear my mask for you, and I do have mine. This is one of the ones my wife has made for me. I wear my mask to protect you, and you wear your mask to protect me, and I want to thank you for that as we make our way. We are taking reservations if you're watching us online. We are doing reservations. We have three different areas here in the Fellowship Center live, and then a hybrid service in the sanctuary, and then a satellite service in Geneva Hall so that we can take care of about 140, 150 people on a given Sunday. And we are doing two shifts. We're doing two services. In the next service, I'll be live in the sanctuary. This will be live music here, and then this message on tape at 11 o'clock. They'll just play what I said this morning. And again, the satellite will be all either live stream or tape over in Geneva Hall. The other thing I would let you know is we can only have two people in the bathroom at a time. So there are some dots for you to stand on and come and go. We do have a great way to kind of disinfect everything between this service and the next service. Even the chairs will be picked up and put away, and new chairs will be put in those places as we make our way to 11 o'clock. So it's been a busy week. Thank you for hanging in with us, and I know we've sent a lot of information your way. When in doubt, call the office, and we'll try to make some sense of that as we make our way. Jennifer Gillis is our children's minister, and she's going to come and read our scripture passages today.
That's right.
Wait, let me tell them one more thing.
Okay.
How many of you have ever used one of these in communion before? Okay. I know it looks like you're going to get half and half in here. But there are two little tabs, and if you pull back the top tab, you'll find a little wafer on the top, and that's your bread. And then if you pull the big tab, you'll get a little bit of juice. And there, someone said, it looks like Merlot. And I said, it's an extremely young Merlot because it's grape juice. And so if you're with us on live stream, please get your communion elements together so that you can enjoy communion today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Okay, thank you, Jennifer.
Absolutely. Good morning. This morning we are reading from Proverbs chapter 16, 19, 22, and 29, and from Ephesians chapter 4. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Hot-tempered people must pay the penalty. If you rescue them once, you'll have to do it again. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people. Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry.
So anger, it's been interesting in this series of messages that as we've made our way through God's Word and God's wisdom each week, there seems to be a very relevant touch point either in our country and or our world. And I think we have a touch point that we've been experiencing about anger. Anger is that emotion that is very complex and at times very hard to understand. It is a real emotion. It's you don't sin just because you feel angry. It's what you do with your anger that often leads us to sin. It leads us to being hurtful, destructive, unhealthy in our lives. How would you define anger? Anger is that strong feeling of displeasure and indignation, and indignation means a sense of injustice. And we've seen and experienced on our TVs, maybe even as we've made our way to a gathering or two, we've seen that sense of indignation, that sense that an injustice has been served. And we're angry about it. We're mad about it. And we can divide, so to speak, the healthy and the unhealthy. Those that are not sinning and those that are, who are destructive, who have contempt. And so I don't think we need a lot of illustration. Healthy anger, biblical anger, righteous anger. Well, I can tell you what it's not. It means that you're not going to be swearing, fists will not be flying, and no throwing of cookware or tools. Right? Those are all destructive things. Those all tear something down, not bring something to a point of reconstruction, of health, of dialogue one to another. There is a wise way, the Bible says, to deal with our anger. And like I said, I think anger's the emotion that's most confusing to us. We get love and grace. We get being happy. But that anger, yeah, it's confusing. Proverbs 16:32. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. See, patience and self-control, that's part of what healthy anger is all about. And we need to just understand our anger. Answer this question for me. When I'm angry, I fill in the blank. Ooh, was there swearing in there, or fists flying in there, or cookware or tools flying in the air? I think you can put angry people into two groups when we're talking unpleasant indignation. Most of the time, we're either bottlers or spewers. Now, a bottler is often that person that feels that somehow it's ungodly for me to be angry. Well, if I'm a Christian and I'm really living by what the Bible says, then I'm never going to have the emotion of anger, and that's just wrong thinking. It's just wrong thinking. See, it's not about feeling the emotion again. It's about what we do when we feel that emotion. And guess what? If you bottle it up, if you're a bottler, you will discover that you try to keep the lid on, but you leak. You leak. You're pretty good for a while keeping all the pressure inside, but all of a sudden, when you don't want it to happen, it leaks out. That happened to me a while back. It wasn't a big leak, but it was still a leak. We need to listen to our leaks. We need to look at our leaks. Now, the other person is the spewer, and you know who you are, and you know who around you is a spewer, because it's a little bit like a dam breaking, and it just takes everything in its path with them. Are you a bottler, or are you a spewer? Solomon offers some very good advice about not being a bottler and not being a spewer. Don't befriend an angry person or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and you will endanger your soul. Fools vent their anger, and I'm going to talk about venting our anger in a moment. But the wise quietly hold it back. Hot-tempered people must pay the penalty. If you rescue them once, you will most likely have to do it again. Have you noticed? And if it's not about rescuing them, it's about putting up with them again when they're angry. So I think a big part of understanding our anger is to dig below the surface of our emotion and our life. We have to get to what I call the taproot of the emotion. It's a little bit like weeding dandelions. How many of us have gone by a dandelion and we just chop the pretty part off, the yellow part off? Maybe even we chop it off enough that we even got almost all the leaves. And you know what happens when that's what you do? You come back the next week when you're mowing your lawn and boom, there it is again. Especially this time of the year, it seems like the weeds are going crazy, right? And you can keep doing that all, you know, actually the green part doesn't look all that bad. It's green. It matches the lawn. But finally, one day, we get tired of doing that long enough. We finally do what? We go get a digging tool and we start digging around and we finally get down all the way to that. The tap root on some of those dandelions is quite big. The same is true about how deep anger can go inside of us. And it will, just like it does with a dandelion, it will take some focus and some effort to dig below the surface and get that taproot out. In fact, you might have to dig twice. You might cut off the taproot part of the way down, and then you got to dig in there and get the rest of it out. It needs to get out. And when we're a bottler and we're leaking, and if we're a spewer and we're getting all over everyone else, it's time to do a little looking below the surface, find that taproot and dig it out. Now, finding that taproot is a choice. We have to choose to acknowledge our anger. We have to choose to acknowledge our anger. And it's interesting to see what we do with our anger. We've got a few choices. Number one, what we can do is we can try to repress our anger. We can try to run from our anger. We can try to ignore our anger. And, you know, that's what a bottler generally does, is they repress that anger and say, "Oh, I'm really not angry." Yet you're leaking over here and over here, and just get yourself in just the wrong circumstance, just enough pressure, and I can tell you, we all leak. We all leak when we bottle up our anger. The other way we think is the right way to deal with our anger is to vent our anger. We're going to get really, really mad. And we're going to wave our arms and our voice is going to get really loud. And, well, I feel so much better. Well, yeah, you might feel better, but what about the other person? In fact, you won't actually and ultimately feel better, because what you do when you vent your anger is you reinforce yourself that your spewing anger is actually the right way to behave. Whatever you reinforce will continue, and whatever you don't reinforce will be extinguished. And so venting our anger really isn't good for us, and we know it's not good for the person we've vented our anger on. So the third choice is we just confess it. We acknowledge the fact that We have some anger. And again, anger is an authentic emotion of a human being. It has to do with, what are we doing with it? Are we hiding from it? Running from it? Just letting it go, no matter what anybody else thinks? Or are we going to say, I ask the question, why am I angry? Why am I angry? Choosing it. Proverbs 16:32. Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Patience, self-control. Now, oftentimes, and here's a little secret I'll share with you. Our anger often has to do with unmet needs. Unmet needs within us. And because we have unmet needs within us, we have an expectation that is not being fulfilled. And so a simple thing to do is when you're angry, ask yourself, well, what do I expect? What am I expecting will happen here? And one way to help direct your anger and choose to allow your anger to be a response instead of a reaction. See, that's a choice. You can choose to respond or you can choose to react. And oftentimes, I can tell you in my life, that has a lot to do with looking for that taproot. Looking at what my expectation is. So it is a choice. It is about unmet expectation. It's ultimately about unmet needs within us. And that runs the gamut. We're not patient and we're not self-controlled when we're angry. It could be that we're just immature emotionally. It could be that we're fearful about something or anxious about something. Maybe we feel guilty about something, and the shame that we feel along with our guilt, that's the reason why we're being so angry. It could be, guys, that, we can't control everything. And because we can't control something or someone, we get angry. Now, ladies, you really have an advantage over us. Because emotionally, women are like, they're like a network channel, right? They're like wave cable. They get every channel of emotion. Men, we get two emotions. We get anger and ecstasy, and that's it. That's it. And oftentimes, guys are angry because they can't control everything. They think they ought to be able to do that. People expect them to do that. And as the world has evolved, guess what? Now women are getting upset because they can't control everything. They can't control what they think they ought to be able to control. And so there's a lot of reasons why we have anger directed because of an unmet need. And it's that unmet need that's the taproot. And what leads you to that taproot is what your expectation is. Because you want to choose to respond instead of react. And so that gets us looking at what our unmet expectation is. And that relates to our unmet need. Well, I have the expectation that I can control all of this right here. And when I can't control all of what's right here, then I get angry Because down deep, I think I ought to be able to do it. Right? I'm smart enough. I pray enough. I read the Bible enough. I ought to be able to control it. We ought to be able to ask for forgiveness about what we feel guilt and shame over. And if we can't go to God and confess our sin to Him and receive the forgiveness that we really need, don't be surprised if you're angry about your failure. What you should have done, what you did do. And so those all go together. Got to get below the surface. Now, a third point for this morning, and that is we need to just slow ourselves down a little bit. We need to slow down and we need to reflect on why we're angry. Ask the question, why am I angry? And you know what's great? If you can't answer that question for yourself at a taproot below the surface level, then talk to someone who understands anger. And have them help you discover what the source of your unmet need is that's creating an expectation that's not being fulfilled, and therefore you're choosing to react instead of respond as a bottler or a spewer. There's the whole thing all wrapped up for you now. Part of it is just slowing ourselves down. Short-tempered people do foolish things. Have you noticed that? Understand this, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slower, James says, to get angry. Here's another thing that helps. Don't accumulate your anger. Here's a great advice out of Ephesians from Paul. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now, you know, a great theological question is what happens if I get mad at my spouse and it's already dark? How do I fulfill that? The point is, don't let it accumulate. Now, here's the way it usually works in most relationships. One person's ready to talk it all out right in the moment, and the other person is not yet. And so they need a little bit of time to process it and think about it and feel it, and then they're ready to have a conversation about the anger. And so just don't let it accumulate, because you know what happens is it's a little bit like a dump truck. You just keep throwing all these emotions, all these bad emotions, all this anger in the back of the dump truck, and woe to you if you're the person that gets the load dumped on you. Have you ever felt like the punishment doesn't match the crime? And oftentimes when it has to do with anger and relationships and you feel like the punishment doesn't match the crime, it's oftentimes because people have been collecting it. And then pretty soon you hear it being backed up. Beep, 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 beep. And you can't run fast enough. You can't get in your car to go to the store fast enough. You can't get out to the garage fast enough, into the backyard fast enough, on the phone fast enough. So it's a good idea. You know, it's better to deal with your anger in small amounts instead of really large amounts. And let me tell you, everybody else wants to make sure you don't do that either, because they don't like having it dumped on them either. We have to do some reflection and some prayer. Continually reflect and prayerfully reflect. Proverbs 19:11, sensible people control their temper. Sensible spiritual people are enabled by the Holy Spirit to control their temper. And what I mean by that is they don't bottle it and they don't spew it. They're not reacting to everything. They're responding to it. Why? Because they can see the expectation they had that didn't get met. And they're reminded, I've got a button here still about my anger. And I know I have that button, and they pushed my button. You ever had your buttons pushed by somebody? Oh yeah. So we need to be sensible spiritual people. Now here's a great insight. David says in Psalm 90, verse 8, "You spread out our sins before you. Even our secret sins, you see them all." I know that's why at times we have trouble coming into the presence of God. We have trouble coming into the presence of God and laying out our sins before God. And what David is really saying here is when you're open with God and you're willing to lay out your sins, and you pray to the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, help me understand my sin, my anger." When we do that, God puts something on the list that we weren't really thinking about. The Holy Spirit puts something before us that maybe we were really unaware of. Because we all have a part of us that we don't know, or we don't know it very well. But the Holy Spirit knows us inside and out. And so when we're continually slowing down, when we're continually reflecting, when we're continually praying about where we need to grow as a Christian and as a person, it's amazing how God brings so many things our way. Sometimes we just think different thoughts. Sometimes we get in a conversation with someone who loves us enough to kind of say something to us that's maybe a little hard for us to hear. But they love us, and so they tell us that. Sometimes we're just cruising along, on Amazon looking for a book, and all of a sudden the title of a book really catches our eye. Oh, and it has just to do with what we're struggling with. It's true that Jesus was angry, but he didn't sin. I don't know about you, but I'm not Jesus. I know that sometimes my anger is sinful anger. And I know sometimes I react instead of responding to people. And I know this, when I see that happen, when I experience that, I know I need to pay more attention. Pay more attention to me, pay more attention to someone else. Pay more attention, so to speak, to God. God made us the way that we are, and Jesus was a fully human person. How do we know that? Because he got angry, but he didn't sin. He felt, the Bible says, every emotion we feel, yet he did not sin. And so when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we celebrate two things about us. One, we are very human people. And God made us that way. And yes, we live in an original sin world. We hang out with other people that sin, and we sin too. And this meal reminds us that in our sin, God wants to just forgive us. He wants to take away that sinful anger and give us what we need. Help us to get our expectations of life and others and ourselves right. Jesus took the bread that night, and after he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he took the cup and he poured it out. And he said, "This is my blood that I willingly shed for you." And in that moment of looking back on his life and looking forward to sacrificing his life for us, he understood the very profound supernatural dimension of who he was. But in these moments, he very much understood his humanity, just like us. And because he sacrificed his life, we can have life. And we can grow and change and be more the person of God that he designed us and created us to be. And so we're a part of the process of sanctification. And so as we take communion this morning, I hope you will offer to God what has been kind of after you for a while in your life, where you keep making the same sinful mistakes, where you're resistant to grow, where you've stopped listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And I'd encourage you to confess that and give that to God. And as you do, receive the forgiveness that comes through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. It goes right down to the taproot of that guilt and shame. And it pulls it out. It digs it out. And it gives us a fresh start and a new beginning. Jesus said, "Take and eat. Jesus said, "Take and drink. Let's pray together. Jesus, you're a blessing God. This meal reminds us that you did give your life so that we can live life and live life to the full, you remind us. And it's true that we can see where we're not as full as we could be or should be, because of the sin that is very much in our life and around us. And to to be more the person that you want us to be. We know that we have to confess that. That we need to receive a cleansing, a fullness that only comes through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we know we'll never be perfect, but we want to make right by you. We want you to fill us as full as we can be full. And whatever's keeping us below the Holy Spirit watermark that you have for us, even if it's something that's a secret that we don't know, bring it to our minds, our hearts, and our souls. Help us, Lord, as we make our way to be wise in what we say, wise in what we think, wise in all that we do. We thank you for being a merciful God, a forgiving God, a gracious God. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. And so I think Solomon's wisdom is right on. We're all out to conquer a city. But for us to be able to conquer a city, we have to first conquer ourselves. And when it comes to us, when it comes to loving other people as ourselves, a little patience and a little self-control go a long ways. And I pray that as you go, you will receive a blessing, an empowerment, and a direction that comes from the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. Amen. Thanks for coming today. See you next week.